MCR Live.
You're listening to the Book of the Future podcast. My name's Tom Cheesewright. I'm an applied futurist. In each episode, I'll be taking you through some ideas about tomorrow's world, based on whatever clients, organisations, or people I'm working with around the world, to help them see what's next and decide what to do about it. This week, I'm off to Austria. It's about 6:30 in the morning now. I'm just waiting for an Uber to come and pick me up and take me to the airport. So it's about 11:30 in the morning now. It's a nice, bright, clear day in Munich, Germany. I've just got off the plane and being collected by a driver to take me off to Kitzbühel in Austria, where I'll be speaking tomorrow at the Superyacht Design Symposium. It's a new market to me, one I've been researching for the last 6 weeks, and I'm hoping to tell the audience some things they don't know about how technology is going to transform their market. So it's a bit later now. I've checked into my hotel and I've been hiding myself away while I put the finishing touches to my presentation. It's always good to speak to the audience a little bit and key these things in to make sure that you are grounding any talk of tomorrow in today's reality. That's what I've been doing since I arrived. My presentation, as always with these things, has to do two things. First of all, it has to explain the process of applied futurism to the audience. Most people aren't futurists. Most people haven't experienced working with a futurist. I imagine you probably haven't listening. If you want to read more about the process that we go through and why it doesn't involve a crystal ball, there's lots of information on bookofthefuture.co.uk. I'm not going to go through it now, but maybe in a future episode, I'll go through some of the background and explain the thinking. But for now, I'll talk a bit about what I'm going to say about the future of superyachts. If, like me, 6 weeks ago, you don't know much about superyachts, these are enormous flights of fancy, unconstrained in many respects by budget. They push the boundaries of design and engineering because they can, because that's kind of their purpose. But they very much butt up against those constraints. And the good news I have for the audience tomorrow is that some of those constraints are going away. There's a classic trope in luxury design that actually the greatest luxury is simplicity. That taking away complexity increases the quality of life. And I really see that that's what's happening over the next 20 years of superyacht design. First of all, technology is going to take away a lot of the complexity of our interactions with machines. This is a continuation of a trend that's been happening for the last 50 years, perhaps more. As computing power has increased, the use to which we've put that power has not all been about increasingly flashy devices. It's been about improving the user interface. And when you combine shrinking device sizes with those improving user interfaces, you get to a natural conclusion. The device goes away. There is no interface. Because there's enough intelligence behind the computer, and it has enough sensing capability to understand what we want before we have to manually ask for it. This opens up all sorts of possibilities. Not just the doors that open when we walk towards them as we have now, albeit those aren't particularly smart, or even the heating that we have now, which knows when we're in and when we're out. Imagine a boat that can reposition itself so that the owner's always on the sunny side when the sun comes up. Or not, as the case may be, if they've had one too many glasses and wet the night before. The second area of technology I'm talking about that's starting to disappear is energy and propulsion. Super yachts can cost maybe $500,000 to fill with fuel, usually gas or diesel. And there's been some inroads for solar power, but it's still pretty limited to powering peripherals. The reality is that today's solar panels are fairly rigid in construction and design and shape. They're not that efficient. And the sun isn't always out, particularly if you're exploring the sort of Arctic reaches as some super yachts increasingly do. But solar panels are changing. They're increasing in the volume in which they're produced. New designs, new technologies coming through. And new manufacturing technologies are changing the way we actually shape them. We've seen this with Elon Musk's plans for the solar roof. Roofing shingles that capture solar energy. The next step is really printable solar panels that can be applied in all sorts of shapes to the crazy curves of the hull of a yacht. Now these are no use at all until they're combined with new battery technologies. Right now the energy density of rechargeable batteries is a fraction of that of fossil fuels. This gives you less range, less power, and really constrains the performance of any electrically driven yacht. But this is going to change. Future battery technologies, based on lithium air or aluminium air, approach the weight-based energy density of fossil fuels. Not only that, but they can be shaped much differently. We're not talking about big tanks, but batteries that can be distributed throughout the hull, perhaps even made structural. And because they'll be constantly recharged by high-efficiency solar cells, they can be much smaller. Huge amounts of space can be freed up inside these yachts, and it's true of other vehicles as well. Not only that, but their performance could be comparable or even better than their fossil fuel-driven counterparts. Not just in range, because they're endlessly recharged, but also top speed. They can be lighter, the engines can be placed differently, and there's more space for cabins. The third area I'm talking about is changes in materials. Like any sort of performance engineering, superyachts are often one of the first places you'll see new materials applied. They've been very quick to adopt carbon as a construction material. Carbon fibre, just like you see in F1 cars. But it's the next generation of particularly carbon-based materials that really excite me. Graphene. It's already been applied in its bulk form, a sort of powder added to composites to increase their mechanical properties. But carbon sheets, graphene sheets, could present an entirely new material, as can nanotubes. The example I give of this is the possibility of the space elevator, an idea that's been around for over 100 years, originally inspired by the Eiffel Tower. Rather than send a giant fossil fuel-powered rocket ship up to space, not only ecologically unfriendly but enormously expensive, why not just board a lift and go up a cable? The answer is, apart from all sorts of other engineering challenges, we simply haven't had a material strong enough before to make that cable. It would collapse under its own weight, let alone the weight of anything else we wanted to apply to it. But with new forms of carbon, we now, for the first time, have a material strong enough to make a tether that could stretch from an ocean up into space. Imagine sailing your yacht out to the middle of the ocean, quite likely where these things would be tethered, for safety reasons apart from anything else. Imagine sailing your yacht out to this tether, boarding a lift, and rising slowly and majestically over the course of a week into space. So that's the gist of my presentation that I'm going to deliver tomorrow. I'll record a little more once it's done, once I'm back in Manchester, and let you know how it goes. I'm back home. home in Manchester now. If it sounds exactly the same, that's because, again, I'm hidden under a duvet using the same strange microphone setup. The presentation in Austria was, I think it's fair to say, a really big success. You never know when you go into these markets, when you're trying to tell people who are experts in their industry about their future. You never know whether you're going to get it right. You never know whether you're going to do enough to key it into their reality today for them to trust what you say about tomorrow. But this time, they bought it. They bought it wholeheartedly. And I've had some incredible conversations since about whether I could get involved in the design of future super yachts. Talking to people about ideas they hadn't imagined about how they could be powered and structured. Helping them to find introductions to the people who may be able to make the ideas I talked about a reality sooner rather than later. There was also a fair bit of party involved, as you may expect, amongst a group of fairly wealthy people in a party town like Kitzbühel. Future episodes will be recorded in the studio. We're just waiting for that studio to be rewired. When we do, we'll have guests. It won't just be my voice. And the sound quality may be a little better as well. Although given that this episode was recorded on the Lenovo P2, a £200 budget smartphone, using a mic strung between a helping hands pair of crocodile clips, I don't think it sounds too bad. There's a blog post accompanying this episode called Invisible Luxury. You can find that on bookofthefuture.co.uk. This podcast is part of the Manchester Live Collective. Sound effects came from freesound.org and are licensed under a Creative Commons license. More information in the show notes. Music comes from Broke for Free via the Free Music Archive at freemusicarchive.org.